Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post-show for May 17th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Friday evenings, wherever you may be. Yes, I asked in the chat if you guys can accurately see the color of the Mustang in the intro here on YouTube, and a lot of you got it right. I'm glad, because I got the final new version of that same scene with the new Dark Horse integration, and we will not be unveiling that yet, because Deviate is actually right now constructing a brand new intro with the car coming in, window rolling down, and then the car going away, man. So we're always upgrading. We're always looking to stay fresh and ahead of the game. Just wanted to let you guys know. Yes, the car, the color of the current car is gunmetal. Whatever that color is to you guys, gray, dark gray, silver, charcoal, it is a gunmetal color. The Dark Horse is a blue ember. Hopefully you guys can see that emanate off of your screens when you get to see what that one looks like. SmackDown. I thought SmackDown tonight was a solid show. Solid show. Yes, the Beer Garden, Cat TV, the Beer Garden will be coming back next weekend. The OTS Beer Garden is back in full effect, man. For the summer, we'll be in the Beer Garden. No more Mother's Basement. Only if there's a nighttime stream will we be in my mother's basement. But the Beer Garden is definitely coming back. SmackDown tonight, I thought, was a solid show. I thought they did a lot of things right. I thought the show flowed very good. In fact, I actually enjoyed tonight better than I did Monday Night Raw. And SmackDown, I felt, made a lot of unpredictability tonight coming in really make a lot of sense. So I was happy to see that WWE put their collective creative heads together and we came up with the best possible plan moving forward tonight in Jacksonville. Yes, Jacksonville was loud. Jacksonville was very rowdy. Jacksonville, obviously the home of AEW. And Jacksonville showed up loud tonight for WWE. The biggest takeaway from tonight, I'm going to start with Jade Cargill and Nia Jax. This was one of the unpredictable scenarios coming into tonight's show. WWE had Jade defeat Piper Niven last week to advance to tonight, and Nia Jax defeated Naomi last week. These two have a small history. The only historical note between these two was them facing off in the Royal Rumble with Nia Jax being eliminated by Jade Cargill. That was her first match. That was the first time we saw Jade Cargill on WWE television. A lot of people were wondering if WWE was going to go ahead and do Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair on free television in this King of the Ring tournament. Now, I know a lot of people out there in the IWC, they operate on the brain cell of a pea. None of these people are quite intelligent. A lot of people in the IWC think that they are intelligent, but most of the community are a bunch of blithering idiots. A lot of people thought that Jade and Bianca was going to happen next week. But if you guys watched my show and then you guys watched me and Solomonster on Tuesday, not only did he say it, not only did I say it, and not only did we both collectively say it on Tuesday for Tuesday Night Titans episode 48, go and check it out. WWE only had one creative decision to do here, and that was to ensure both ladies remained looking strong coming out of this match. You could not have a clear, decisive winner. Nia Jax couldn't beat Jade, and Jade couldn't beat Nia Jax. Well, why is that, JD? Why can't WWE have Jade beat Nia? Well, IWC dummy, I don't know if you recall, Nia Jax has been booked pretty fucking strong. Nia Jax has already staked claim to the WWE Women's Championship that Bayley occupies. Nia was actually one of the first people that a lot of people chose to win the King of the Ring, which at this point I still would not be shocked if they do that. Nia is going to go on to either win the King of the Ring, the Queen of the Ring, King of the Ring, or win that Women's Championship. At this point, I do not think giving her the Women's Championship is the right move. I think giving her the Queen of the Ring is the right move. Jade was never going to be beaten. WWE was never going to beat Jade Cargill this early in her run. That doesn't mean that WWE is going to go on and have her do the same thing that Tony Khan did in AEW, because that would be fucking stupid and that would be repetitive. And that would be lazy booking, because it was lazy booking over there. We don't need to see it all over again over here. And WWE really doesn't have the liberty to do that, because a lot of the women that Jade beat in her first run in AEW was mostly jobbers. I don't think Jade is going to come on in and squash everybody and then remain undefeated for 60 fucking matches. It's not going to happen here. Jade wasn't going to lose. WWE was never going to do that. Nia was never going to lose. WWE has big things for her. WWE's big things planned for Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair are in the beginning stages of a relationship. They are a tag team right now, put together. They are the tag team champions in the women's division. The bigger story would be not the Queen of the Ring, not even the tag team championships. The tag team championships are going to be used as a vehicle to further split them up and tell their story as champions, as friends, which will then eventually lead to one turning on the other. Who that is at this point, I don't really know. And then that would lead to a match potentially at WrestleMania. I don't know why anybody would think that this match would take place in Saudi Arabia next week on a taped episode of SmackDown and not at WrestleMania. Don't know why you would think that. It's not time. They are not ready for it. Jade is nowhere near ready for that match. Why deliver it in the most less than fashion when you could do it when it actually means something? That's why it didn't happen. WWE tonight only had one thing to do: make both women look strong. That was either by a double countout or a double disqualification, or a disqualification of sorts where one beat the other and the other was going to advance, and then the losing party would not be pinned. WWE chose option C. One got disqualified, did not take the pin, and the other advanced in the Queen of the Ring tournament. Jade Cargill got herself disqualified, and Nia Jax advances to the semifinals. This was the right decision to do. We all called it. Us smart people on here all called it. I said maybe a double count out. I'm thinking, well, double count out, disqualification, whichever WWE decides on. They went with the lesser of two evils. I think a double count out would have annoyed the fans even more so. So WWE opted to tell the story of Jade being upset with Nia. Nia and Jade cut pre-match promos. Nia was already upset at Jade for what she said, basically overlooking her. Nia went out there with an attitude. Nia went into the match with an attitude and started beating the shit out of Jade right at the top of the match. As soon as the bell rung, They go to the outside, and lo and behold, who's on the outside behind the barricade? Jade Cargill's daughter. And Nia Jax got in the face of Jade Cargill's daughter, where she started screaming at Jade's daughter, "Your mother sucks," to the reply of Jade's daughter yelling back at Nia, "No, she don't." So at that point, that's all Jade needed to flip the switch, go berserk. If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sportsbook you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether it's odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole new experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention that they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or just curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy, and that's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using promo code SCRIPT and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code SCRIPT for a free cash bonus to kickstart your betting journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the baseball season in full swing, there's never a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet. And get disqualified. If you don't think that's perfect booking for these two women in this situation, I'm going to have to ask you to grow a fucking brain and then maybe come back and talk to me when you're semi-intelligent. This was the perfect outcome for both of these women. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no other way to book this match. So what does WWE accomplish by doing what they did here with Jade Cargill and Nia Jax? Jade isn't pinned. She's still undefeated. She looks like a badass defending her daughter against the much larger Nia Jax, and she did not back down. She did not get pinned is the most important aspect here. Nia Jax, she did not get pinned. She's the one who took the chair shot. She goes on and advances because of Jade's blinded by anger moment because of what she did to her daughter, which I'm assuming will come into play as part of the reason why she did what she did. Now we're looking at Nia versus Bianca, who in the match with Tiffany was already selling a knee. Everybody's selling a knee in this King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring. So Nia advances and Jade, basically, blinded by anger, gets herself disqualified, and they brawl where it took a lot of officials and referees to break this thing up, and then you can go and do whatever you need to do with these two ladies at a later date. Do you want to know when that later date is? When Nia Jax wins the Queen of the Ring. When she wins the Queen of the Ring, then that is the accomplishment that you set out to do with her. It's a lot easier for her to take a pinfall when you do the eventual match with Jade Cargill. Nothing will be lost. Jade gets her win. She remains undefeated. And Nia Jax would have already won the crown. And it's all right for her to take a loss. After that, she can go on and challenge whoever the champion is, because that's what I'm assuming the winner of the Queen and King of the Rings are going to get. So at that point, she can go challenge Bayley and win the championship. Looking back at the match with Jade, a loss to Jade will do nothing if she wins the Queen of the Ring tournament. Any more questions? It's why I'm here and you're there. It's not that difficult to figure out, folks. All the people crying on social media, "Oh, I wanted to see Jade and Bianca." This is why you didn't get Jade and Bianca yet. Maybe if you actually learn to do what we do here and not see things in the most stupid way, maybe you would have come up with this determination. Great. That's why people are here watching me most of the time first before they go anywhere else, because I give them quality content like I just gave you. perfect. Absolutely no problems with that whatsoever. And to further protect Jade Cargill, they could do that match at a later date and not have it be a standard one-on-one match. Maybe they do false count anywhere. Maybe they do no DQ. Maybe they make Jade look like even bigger of a badass. No problems with what they did tonight at all. Perfect. Tiffany Stratton and Bianca Belair was the other women's Queen of the Ring match. I thought both ladies did excellent. It was a vicious rumor going around that Bianca Belair was pregnant for whatever reason. I don't know where this came from. Clearly, that's not the case. And Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton went out there and delivered a great television match. To all the Tiffany detractors out there, go suck a dick and shut the fuck up. She ain't going anywhere. She didn't do anything wrong. She's got nothing to worry about, and WWE management loves her. I don't know where all this jealousy came from about Tiffany Stratton all of a sudden, but I'm going to need you guys to shut the fuck up. You're looking at the next WWE Women's Champion before the end of the year. Money in the bank, absolutely, for all the Money in the Bank enthusiasts out there. Oh, why didn't Tiffany Stratton win Queen of the Ring? I don't know, there's something else called Money in the Bank that fits her gimmick a lot more than Queen of the Ring. Get with the program. We'll talk about that. The men's side, Tama Tonga and Mr. LA Knight. Pretty predictable there. I didn't really expect LA Knight to go on and win against the Bloodline. And Randy Orton, Carmelo Hayes. I think everybody kind of knew at that point that Randy Orton, as soon as Tama Tonga won, that Randy Orton was going to win his match, who he conveniently is also selling the knee. I don't know why everybody's selling a knee here, but we did also discuss the Randy Orton selling of the knee on Tuesday Night Titans. We'll go over that as well. And then Cody and Logan Paul, I thought, had a very entertaining contract signing, but it still had me uttering the words, I don't give a shit, at the end of it all. We will get into all of that stuff right here tonight on OTS. Thank you guys for all the support, man. First two episodes with Solid Monster are nearing 100,000 views on YouTube. I think you guys are liking what we're doing on Tuesday night, man. I think you guys are liking what we're cooking on Tuesday nights. It's only going to get better from here on out, man. Go check it out. Everything you need is on the homepage. If you missed Tuesday Night Titans, if you missed AEW Dynamite, Jesse and I covered Dynamite. How about those Dynamite ratings, huh? Now, we can't talk about ratings here, though. Go check that out. Lots of truth. I actually enjoyed Wednesday's episode, and I said as much in the stream. And then Monday Night Raw. Go check out Monday Night Raw and the coverage over there. Lots of stuff. I even uploaded an extra yesterday talking about my thoughts on Ricky Starks going bye-bye. He'll be headed to WWE potentially this summer. Go check that out, man. Lots of loaded opinion in that one. Everything you need is on the homepage. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Super chats are open. Get them on in. Any questions, comments, concerns, we'll hang out at the end of the show. Hit that thumbs up. We got 1,800 people in here live on a Friday night. Let's get that up to at least 1,000 likes. Minimum. There's no cover charge here, man. All you gotta do is hit the thumbs up. And tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. You want to be your own king of the ring? Take a Blue Chew. Code JD at checkout. All you need to do is pay the $5. Shipping and handling. Let's get into it. SmackDown starts off with the ladies, Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton. Quarterfinal match for the Queen of the Ring. Anybody that has a problem all of a sudden, don't know why, don't know where it came from, the IWC are a bunch of inbred fucking geeks. Tiffany Stratton is one of the best newcomers to the WWE main roster in many, many, many years. Apparently, everybody wanted her canceled over this current week for whatever reason. An Instagram story that went viral where some fan dubbed over a clip of her punching Jade. Don't know when that was, but... Or it might have been the tag team match at Backlash. I'm not really sure, but... Whatever the case may be, there was a profanity thrown about and people wanted her canceled. And then when WWE saw this clip, they removed the graphic and the hype of her match with Bianca Belair. Then there was a report that came out that the match is actually back on and WWE has no problem with Tiffany Stratton. And then all these same people started targeting how she dresses. Tell me you don't have a life without telling me you don't have a life. Seriously. Go find a fucking hobby. Oh, that's right. You don't have any, man. Oh, man. Most of the hobbies of these people considered, you know, to be pro wrestling fans, their hobby is watching anime porn with a box of tissues and lube next to their nighttime bedtime stand. And then most of these people have no friends. Their only friends online are strangers that they've never met before, hiding behind other wrestlers' avatars. Get a life. She ain't going anywhere. I was looking forward to this match because it's only a stepping stone for Tiffany Stratton. In my honest opinion, this was probably one of the better opening matches that we've seen on SmackDown on Friday night this year. And both ladies are very good at what they do. Crowd was hot. Crowd was big into Bianca. Crowd was even hot for Tiffany Stratton. And we will pick it up as we go to a commercial break first. I like to pick it up after the commercial break because really nothing happens before the commercial break. So, Belair, she's firing up. Stratton wanted to take Belair down by her braid. Belair fired up, slapped Stratton repeatedly, and then slammed Stratton. Belair went for a head scissors move, but Stratton kicked Belair and got the upper hand. Belair then hit a moonsault while selling the knee pain, which came out of Bianca's last Queen of the Ring match. So a lot of people are selling the knee, which is quite, I would say, quite the story here. You know, maybe it could have been an arm. Maybe it could have been another body part. We got both men and women's Queen of the Ring tournaments with the favorites selling a heavy knee injury. Stratton's on the outside. She grabbed Belair's braid and whipped Belair into the apron, draping Belair's bad knee. Stratton ran Belair into the ring steps knee first, and Stratton posed. So Belair's knee is under attack here. She kept working on the knee, which was the story of the match, until Belair kicked Stratton to the floor with her other leg, the good leg. Stratton tried to pull Belair to the ring post, but Belair used her momentum and slammed Stratton into the ring post instead, face first. So both ladies go back into the ring. Belair fired up, some punches, series of slams on Stratton. Belair then hit a spine buster, and Belair looked to set up Jade's finish. She actually went and attempted Jaded. But that led to both Tiffany and Bianca exchanging roll-ups. Belair went for the KOD next. Stratton countered it and landed a double foot stomp for a nice near fall. Stratton then went for a splash in the corner. Belair caught her and hit a high German suplex for a near fall of her own. Two chants of "This is awesome." Belair tried to drag Stratton into the ring, and Stratton grabbed the ring apron. So, just picture that. Tiffany was trying to escape underneath the bottom rope from within the ring, and Belair caught her by the legs, and then Stratton pulled on the ring apron to try and pull herself out. So the referee obviously got distracted with this. He went to go fix the apron. Tiffany gets back up and hit a quick thumb to the eye to Bianca Belair. This is my favorite part of the match. This was awesome. The last 60 seconds to this were fucking great. So with Stratton holding on to the ring apron, the referee was distracted. He goes to fix the ring apron like a dumbass. I don't know why anybody gives a shit about the ring apron at that point. Tiffany gets up with the referee's back turn, thumb to the eye to Bianca. She regained control. Stratton followed that up with a roaring elbow, sliding elbow, for a near fall. Then she tries for the prettiest moonsault ever, but Belair gets up, cuts Stratton off on the top rope, tripped her up. Tiffany bounces off the top rope in a seated position. She then pulls Tiffany off the top rope, does Bianca, and hits the KOD for the 1-2-3. I thought Tiffany had her beat. They made me believe that Stratton was going over after the sliding elbow. I thought it was over. Then she goes up to the top to do the prettiest moonsault ever. I thought she was actually going to do it until Belair got up, and then the KOD happened, and then Bianca hits the 1-2-3. Excellent stuff, that last 60 seconds. It was awesome. After the win, I love that Kathy Kelly's in the ring interviewing all the winners. Love it. She interviewed Belair in the middle of the ring. Belair said her knee wasn't 100%. But she was going to keep showing up and showing out. She said nothing will stop her from becoming queen of the ring. Bianca is not winning queen of the ring. That is my prediction. I thought this match was really good. Great open to SmackDown. Tiffany is a fucking stud. Can't wait to see her grow even further on Friday night. An absolute fucking workhorse is Tiffany Stratton. You don't like what she's doing? Fuck off. Seriously. The way that I see things shaping up here, clearly Bianca is going into her match with Nia, who, in my opinion, was unfazed by what happened with Jade. I think Bianca is ending up the loser coming out of that match next week. I think Nia is going to end up winning and going to the finals. That's just my prediction, which is going to be something because that makes the match between Io and Lyra Valkyrie. Who? Oh, Irish last kicker number two. Okay. Lyra Valkyrie. Okay. Yeah. Bird Girl. There you go. Why do we keep messing her name up, man? Why do we keep asking who she is? Do we know who she is yet? No. If she wins Queen of the Ring, then we'll know who she is. Okay. I don't know why my barback knows all this information, but I don't. It's going to make that match with Io and Lyra a little bit more unpredictable because right now I got Io penciled in to win. But if it ends up being Nia, I could see them using Lyra as a good heater for Nia Jax. You know, Lyra playing that come from behind baby face, but coming ever so close to winning. I could see that. So we'll see what happens, man. WWE is setting things up to be a little bit more unpredictable going into the semifinals. I like it. Logan Paul was backstage. He was walking in to Adam Pearce's office. And out of Adam Pearce's office comes LA Knight. Yeah. What a tease this was, huh? Logan Paul going in, LA Knight coming out. They both eyed each other. And there was a quick glimpse of LA Knight eyeing that United States Championship. All this then comes out to separate these two. and then ask Logan Paul to come in to talk about the contract signing with Cody. Dropping some hints about what Logan Paul and LA Knight will be doing at SummerScam. Bookmark it. Save it. Reference it. LA Knight is going to become the United States champion at SummerSlam when he beats Logan Paul in Cleveland. Yeah. Nick Aldis. Did I say Nick Aldis? Adam Pearce? Did I say Adam Pearce? Did I really say Adam Pearce? No difference. They're both GMs. You guys knew who I was talking about. Byron Saxton. He interviewed Jade Cargill. He asked how it feels about facing Nia Jax, someone as dominant as Nia Jax. She said she's heard all about her being an irresistible force, but to her, she's just standing in my way. They were all smiles. Belair walks in, and she congratulated, Jade did, Belair on her victory, and then asked about her knee. Belair said it'd be fun if they ended up facing each other next week. Said the knee will just be fine going into next week. Go win your match. We'll worry about that later. We got a clip airing last week of Solo Sikoa revealing to Paul Heyman that he's been in touch with Roman Reigns. And that until Roman Reigns returns, he is calling the shots. He is the tribal chief. And Paul Heyman is his wise man by orders of the tribal chief. They replayed the hug. You saw the eyes roll back from Solo as he looked on. Behind him was Tama Tonga. I don't believe a fucking word that Solo Sikoa says. Yes, his name is Nick Pearce now. Nick Pearce and Adam Aldis are the GMs of Raw and SmackDown. Love that they aired this clip showing exactly what happened, because I don't think anybody's out there believing a fucking thing Solo Sikoa has to say. We go live backstage to the Bloodline this week. Tama Tonga was making some weird noises, man. What type of noises was Tama Tonga making, huh? He was like, he was over there grunting like. What type of noises was he making, man? Holy shit, he sounded like he was possessed. What was he doing out there? I don't know. It's crazy, man. What do they got? What do they got my guy, MFD, doing, man? Come on. Ridiculous. It's like it was being, yeah, it was like, it's like it was the exorcism of motherfucking Tonga over there.
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Is that going to be a new gag on the show? I don't know. We'll see. Tama Tonga was making these weird noises. And Solo sent Tonga and Tangaloa to the ring. Heyman asked Solo if he talked to Reigns today. Solo said, yeah, I talked to him all the time. Talked to him all the time. Heyman looked very taken aback here. He looked a little worried that he talks to Roman Reigns all the time. A little nervous there by Paul Heyman. Now, I got a logical question here, folks. Now, follow me along. You know, I might be a little over-analytical here. I may be overthinking things, but, you know, if Solo Sikoa has now admittedly said to Paul Heyman that he's been in constant communication with the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, don't you think If Roman Reigns was watching the show, he would have called Paul Heyman and told Paul, I haven't said a fucking word to this guy. So am I to believe that Roman Reigns, on vacation, does not watch anything that's going on Friday night? Is that what we're under the impression of? Roman Reigns just completely has X'd out all his viewing experiences of WWE, right? Interesting. Still, I don't believe a fucking word Solo Sikoa has to say. He has not spoken to the tribal chief, and he's only lying to Paul Heyman because he knows he's got Paul Heyman by the balls. Kathy Kelly interviewed LA Knight, backstage. He says he doesn't know half the guys in this new bloodline, but he'll get past one of them tonight and introduce his head to the crown and become king. Carmelo Hayes walks in, and he's being very heelish here, very cocky. Is Carmelo Hayes. He calls himself him. Who is him? I'm him. Told LA Knight that this was his opportunity to welcome to SmackDown. Welcome me to SmackDown, Carmelo says. He says, well, I was a first round pick, which is no big deal, but it actually really is. LA Knight said people tell him certain things about him and they remind him of Tom Brady. He said, nobody remembers who the first overall draft pick was the year Brady was drafted. Does anybody remember who the overall draft pick, the number one draft pick in the year Tom Brady was drafted? Who was it? Anybody know? It's a fun little trivia question for the geeks out there. He said, nobody remembers who the first overall draft pick was that year. Carmelo said after tonight, the biggest three letters in WWE won't be RKO. They'll be H-I-M, him. Phil says, Heyman's phone for Roman got broke by Solo. You mean to tell me, Phil, that Paul Heyman, being a WWE Hall of Famer, doesn't have the funds to go buy himself a new iPhone 15? Paul Heyman, reportedly now, is on the streets. He's living in a cardboard box. RKO will not be the big three letters in WWE anymore. It'll be H-I-M, him. LA Knight mocked, applauded, and said, yeah, that's so stupid, nobody will repeat it. He then got the crowd to chant LA Knight, and he closed with, now go play somewhere, I'm busy. Man, you guys are making some wild accusations in there, man. Drew Bledsoe, Chad Pennington, Michael Vick. Who the fuck cares? LA Knight, he went one-on-one with Tama Tonga. I'll tell you something right now, man. I enjoy Tama Tonga's entrance. I think the theme hits, and I think the presentation has hit. I think it's great. They really did a great job on Tama Tonga's presentation. This match was a little too predictable for my liking. I don't think anybody realized here or anybody thought LA Knight was going to go on in advance to the semifinals over Tama Tonga with Randy Orton looking dead on in the other match tonight with Carmelo Hayes. There was just no way it was going to happen. So basically, the writing was on the wall for LA Knight before the bell even rung. As soon as the match was made last week, it was already a done deal. We knew who was going to advance for sure. Jacksonville was big time over for LA Knight, chanting his name loudly before the bell rung. We got a commercial break about 3 minutes in. This match maybe lasted 9 total minutes. So Tama Tonga took advantage of LA Knight intimidating the bloodline, or at least trying to intimidate the bloodline off the apron. Tonga took advantage, ran Knight into the ring post. Tama Tonga followed that up with a stiff clothesline on LA Knight, got sent to the outside, and then we go to a commercial break about 3 minutes in. Christian 6455 says, it's Haku's theme, but remixed. Is it really? Can someone confirm that? I think that would be fucking awesome. Anyway, I love it. I think it's great. So we come back from commercial break. There are chants of, we want Roman. Yes, we all want Roman. WWE, I'm sure, wants Roman back too. Tonga kept control of the match over LA Knight. This time they were inside the ring. Tonga went to the top and tried for a big splash, but LA Knight moved and followed that up with a series of strikes, a big crossbody, and then he clotheslined Tama Tonga over the top rope. LA Knight then slammed Tonga's head on the apron repeatedly. Back inside the ring, LA Knight hits his power slam, elbow drop combination. Crowd then started to chant, BFT, BFT. They wanted LA Knight to finish this thing off. All of a sudden, Tangaloa pulls his brother, Tama Tonga, out from underneath the ring to the outside. LA Knight then runs the ropes and delivers a wrecking ball drop kick to Loa and found himself in a stare down with Solo Sikoa. So this is the turning point for the bloodline here. LA Knight was like, why don't you hit me? Hit me. Do it, please. LA Knight knew if Solo hit him, he'd go on to the semifinals by disqualification. The bloodline did not do that, but they played mind games. The intimidation factor of the bloodline helped them out tremendously. As soon as LA Knight got back into the ring, Tama Tonga hit his finish on LA Knight, and it was a very anticlimactic ending with Tama Tonga winning 1-2-3 and advancing to the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament. Again, not surprised. The match wasn't really anything all that special. I think everybody kind of knew last week when the match was made what the outcome was going to be, and that's exactly what it was. I did not like the ending to this match. I thought it made LA Knight look fucking stupid. I thought it could have been done a lot better. I thought it could have been a lot more competitive. I know a lot of people are probably wondering, when is LA Knight going to get his? That was all with the tease of him and Logan Paul. He's just going to have to wait the majority of the summer for LA Knight's rise to the top to a championship. Just not his time yet. The guy is super over. I understand that everybody's frustrated, but he's still going to be just as hot by the time we get to SummerSlam as he is now. The story is not about LA Knight right now, unfortunately. It's about Tama Tonga, the bloodline, and Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Until Roman gets back, and then until Rock gets back. Or when we see the introduction of Jacob Fatu, Jimmy. There's a whole bunch of moving parts here. This is phase one of those moving parts. Randy Orton and Tama Tonga was the plan. As soon as you saw the brackets, everybody kind of realized where they were going with this. Anticlimactic finish. Could have been done a lot better. Tama Tonga wins 1-2-3. LA Knight was shown walking backstage. He ran into Hayes again. Knight and Hayes jawed at each other before things were broken up by Charles Robinson, the referee. So at least we have a little bit of a mini feud for both guys to kind of get involved in. LA Knight, Carmelo Hayes, I'm here for it. I don't know if LA Knight's going to walk out a winner there. Carmelo Hayes seems to be on the receiving end of a couple of losses. Maybe they are sending him through a hazing period on Friday night. I don't know. But I think a Carmelo Hayes LA Knight feud in the interim could be pretty cool. Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul, contract signing. This is for the main event of King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. Cody, he was mega over, nuclear reaction for Cody Rhodes in Jacksonville. I mean, it goes without saying how historical of a city Jacksonville is to Cody Rhodes. I mean, if you got a fucking brain in your head, you realize what Jacksonville meant to him for a few years there. You know, there was another promotion that started up with a couple of bucks with the backing of a billionaire who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe you know who they are. So yes, Cody is very over. Logan Paul sitting on one side. Cody Rhodes sitting on the other. The only difference is Cody's sitting by himself. And Logan Paul's got an entourage with him. Plus his lawyer. Nick Aldis is standing in the middle of the ring behind the podium, which held both the WWE and the United States championships. Cody said he loves Jacksonville. No shit. I wonder why. Cody asked Paul if he knew the historical significance of this very city 30 years ago. Cody asked Paul if he knew that it was War Games 1992 anniversary, and that match took place in Jacksonville. Cody touted how he's a fan of pro wrestling while Logan Paul is not a fan of pro wrestling. Cody called Logan a tourist who only makes viral moments. Cody says it's time for Logan to understand that he will become a Grand Slam champion. Meaning that if he wins the United States Championship, he will be a Grand Slam champion in WWE. So Logan Paul started to respond and the crowd drowned him out with boos. He was mega. I'm getting mega heel heat here. Logan Paul asked Cody if he was stalling because he didn't come to listen to Cody talk. Logan Paul says he came to sign a contract. So Logan says it was a horrible crowd and he was going to sign the contract. Logan looked at the contract and said there was one little thing I have to remind everybody of. And then he tore up the contract. So I'm assuming this was the contract that he went into Nick Aldis's office about earlier in the show. Fans then started to chant, "He can't read, he can't read," because he ripped up the contract. Logan Paul said he agreed to wrestle Cody, not for the United States Championship being on the line, only for his WWE Championship to be on the line. Logan Paul says he did not agree to put his title on the line. Logan Paul even brought his lawyer, who presented him a new contract. Logan Paul tried to hand Nick Aldis the new contract, and he told Aldis to get this done. Nick Aldis was very angry here because this is not what they agreed to. Aldis called it bad business, and it's unprofessional, and Aldis says he won't stand for it. So Logan Paul's lawyer, who I did not get a name of, this guy, I forgot what his name was, asked Aldis, are you really threatening my client? So we got a couple words in. Cody chimed in and said, Nick, listen, you're doing a great job on SmackDown, man. SmackDown is a great brand. You're leading SmackDown in a great manner. You're doing a great job. Cody asked Aldis to leave. I know how you get when you get angry. I've known you for a very long time. I'll take care of this. I'll bring you the contract and the paperwork later. Nick Aldis left the ring. Logan Paul said he signed the contract, so it's done and the match is made. Logan Paul said Cody hasn't done anything to deserve a shot at his United States title, and this entire situation was funny. You know, it's funny to hear Logan Paul say that Cody hasn't done anything to deserve an opportunity at the United States Championship, but the United States Championship should have never even been discussed in the first place about being potentially on the line here. And then we can ask the same question. What has Logan Paul done to earn a WWE Championship match in Saudi against Cody? Oh, that's right. He was handpicked by the Saudi prince. That's why. Oh, WWE's being paid $50 million for this show. That's why he's in the main event. Now we get it. See, lines like that don't really make any logical sense. Cody stood up, and he got nasty with Logan Paul. Cody was a little fiery tonight. Maybe, I guess, it was that Jacksonville energy. Maybe he was summoning that old EVP energy. Stood up, got angry with Logan. Cody said the honeymoon with Logan Paul is over. Cody noted how Mike Tyson will knock out Jake Paul in 8 days. Cody signed Paul's contract and took out Paul and his crew. From there, Cody powerbombed one of these geeks that was in Logan Paul's entourage through a table, because everybody's got to go through a table during a contract signing. Cody threw the United States title to Logan Paul, who was outside the ring, and that's the way the segment came to a close. I am glad WWE realized, I don't know if it was pressure from social media, I don't know if it was something they came up with on their own during the week, and realized that some of the dialogue last week on Friday night was a mistake. Cody went on social media and tweeted two belts. It never made any sense for Cody to wrestle for the United States Championship and then have him win the United States Championship. The match itself is pretty predictable. If you put the United States Championship on the line, it makes it completely one-sided, where no one would think Logan Paul was walking out of that arena as the United States Champion. Unless there was some screwy fuck finish, which we don't need. Cody's already said he wants to be a fighting champion. He beat AJ clean in France at Backlash. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to do it against Logan Paul. It did not make any sense. Cody holding the United States Championship would not make any sense. Because what would happen when he won it? If Cody won the United States Championship, where would we go from there? He can't defend both titles. He would win it and then do what? Vacate it? For you to do what? Have a multi-man match, a battle royal, a six-pack challenge, a gauntlet match, another tournament? It never made any sense. They alluded to it. WWE even put it on their website tonight, on WWE.com, signing the contract to make title versus title official. Thank God they came up with it. Or maybe we're not giving WWE enough credit, and maybe it was never the plan, and this was only used to further the story to get us to tonight and through the contract signing. I'm not going to give WWE that much credit, but I got to throw it out there as maybe it potentially being the plan all along. I'm going to say probably not. They made the right move here. But if you're asking me, JD, how do you feel about Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes now for the WWE Championship at King of the Ring? I don't. I don't give a shit. I'm not emotionally invested in what they're doing because there is no story. There is no story. You can sit there and fabricate a story all you want. You could sit there and daydream a story all you want. You could sit there and pen out your own story and make it seem really believable. There is none. The only reason why this match is happening is because Logan Paul is looked at as a megastar over in Saudi Arabia. They want the biggest names competing for their government over there, and that's the only reason why it's happening over there. The other reason why it's happening is because WWE has tied up all their major names that could potentially be contenders within the King of the Ring tournament. So they're basically left with nobody. I don't understand why we didn't go with AJ for another match. I don't know why AJ was even included in the tournament to begin with. I do think the match with Logan Paul is happening too soon. I fully expected it to happen at some point during this run, but right now, WWE is only doing it because Saudi. That's all. There is no story. For all the WWE fucking cultists out there, no, there is no story. Stop trying to sell me on one. Stop trying to fabricate me one. You guys want to fucking rail on me when I say AEW doesn't have stories. But here I am on WWE television, on my WWE stream, telling you that there is no story here. So please, wherever you think this fucking paycheck is coming from, I'd love to know where the fuck it is, because I'm still waiting on it. I don't have a fucking paycheck coming from Jacksonville, and I don't have a paycheck coming from Stanford. I don't know where you guys are fabricating a paycheck. It might have gotten lost in the mail, for all I know. Maybe that's what happened. You fucking people are just as bad as the people who think I stream legitimately in a fucking cocktail bar right down the street. I know Deviate does a great job. And if that's the case, get me an old-fashioned stat. Ridiculous. I enjoyed this segment. Logan was a great heel. Cody was a fiery babyface. Do I care? No, there is no story. Kathy Kelly interviewed Nia Jax backstage. Jax interrupted Kathy Kelly and said, everyone says Jade Cargill is so strong and so impressive. Jax said Cargill will not be the queen of the ring because Nia Jax will be the queen of the ring. Yes, Pringle Man, Dax. Paid podcasters, he says. Oh, man, you better believe I'm fucking paid. Just like you're paid to work. I'm paid to work. The world goes round and round. You get to buy your tequila and take care of your family, and I get to do the same thing. Just replace tequila with whiskey. Wait a minute. JD doesn't really stream at a bar. No, you fucking idiot. It's a fucking green screen. Holy shit. I wish it was a real fucking bar. Half of you people drive me to want a drink. Nia and Jade went 2 minutes as Nia advances via disqualification. Nia Jax took down Jade Cargill pretty quickly with a swift right hand. Cargill bounced back quickly, came back and did a spine buster on Nia Jax. The action quickly goes to the outside where Jax threw Cargill down in front of her own daughter sitting at ringside. Jax told Cargill's daughter that her mom sucks. So the women got back in the ring. Jade ran Jax back outside because she was so pissed. Cargill ran at Jax, but Jax moved, and Cargill ran into the ring post. Jax then roughed up the commentary table and threw a couple of chairs. Jax then raised the chair. She's about to hit Jade and get DQ'd. Jade was late to grab the chair. It looked like Nia actually did hit Jade with the chair. I believe Nia was almost, could have been disqualified, could have been constituted as a hit. But the referee clearly didn't see it that way. Jade takes the chair and smashes Nia across the back with the chair. The referee threw his hands up, why, ring the bell. Jade Cargill gets disqualified and Nia Jax advances to the semifinals. The two continued to fight after the bell. Crowd chanted bullshit. And then WWE can't wait till they get the fuck off Fox because the screen went black. They muted the sounds because we can't say bullshit on Channel 5 here in New York City. Bullshit, 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 Fox. Your station is bullshit. Can't wait till SmackDown moves to USA Network. WWE ended this match the only way that they could, in a disqualification. Jax and Cargill needed to be separated, and a bunch of referees and officials came to break this up. Not going to repeat myself from what I opened this podcast with. This was the right move. Was it the greatest brawl ever? No. Was it sloppy? Yes. Could it have been done a little bit better? Absolutely. But I'm looking at the core of it. They got the outcome right. Nia goes on and advances. Jade does not. But Nia goes on and advances, and Jade is still undefeated. They didn't beat Jade. They used Jade's daughter as a catalyst for Jade's anger to get herself disqualified. To me, that is thumbs up booking. Again, could it have been done a little bit better? A little bit more realism? Sure. Could it have been less sloppy? Sure. But the meat and potatoes of what we're talking about here was right. So now they set things up where this match is going to eventually happen again. And it's going to happen after Nia wins the Queen of the Ring. Because at that point, she will be the number one contender for the Women's Championship. And at that point, she's already got a guaranteed title shot. And at that point, it'll be all right for her to lose to Jade. WWE did a lot of right here. If you guys overlook the sloppiness of the brawl, Most of what they did, he was correct. DIY. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa against Legado del Fantasma. This is Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Not much to this. This went to a commercial break almost immediately. Not really a lot to this. Half of what we missed was in the commercial break. We came back. This match went about 8 minutes. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller were on commentary. Gargano and Humberto started the match. So Ciampa and Gargano landed stereo suicide dives on Legado on the outside. And then we went to a commercial break with Ciampa running the ropes and Angel held the top rope, sending Ciampa to the outside. So Legado was in control. Show comes back. Ciampa was beating down Angel until Humberto tagged in, hit the Garza special. Humberto got a two count out of it. Humberto and Ciampa tried to suplex each other multiple times until Ciampa got the best of it and suplexed Humberto. Gargano then received the hot tag, took down both Humberto and Angel. Gargano landed a slingshot spear on Humberto and then went to the top. Santos Escobar distracted the referees. Electro Lopez grabbed Johnny Gargano and basically tripped him up on the top rope. Referee ejected the rest of Legado from ringside. But while this was happening, an opening was seen and DIY hits. Meet them in the middle for the 1-2-3. DIY wins, and they get into the win column with a DIY victory over Humberto Carrillo. I don't know where they're going with this. Clearly, they're setting up DIY against A-Town Down Under. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. You know, I don't really know where they're going. Every opportunity, DIY is a great tag team, but they're not getting over. It's going to be upfront and honest with you. DIY has zero momentum. I don't think breaking up DIY is the best long-term plan, especially for the SmackDown Women's Division when right now, or SmackDown, the Tag Team Division, Women's Division. SmackDown Tag Team Division. That'd be something if Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa were in the women's division for the tag team titles. That'd be great. For the tag team division on the men's side, breaking them up doesn't seem like a sound strategy. But on the flip side, I would probably lean towards, if I was the ultimate decision maker here, I would probably lean towards DIY breaking up, Tommaso Ciampa turning on Johnny Gargano, bringing back the Psycho Killer gimmick, having him go on a singles run, Johnny go and be a babyface, get that fucking heat from the beatdown of Ciampa. He gets to be a babyface. They get to play their own stories out. And we get another top-tier villain on Friday nights in Tommaso Ciampa. How about that? I don't know where the Bloodline comes in. They could be an additional tag team to make up for the lack of DIY. The Wyatt family could be coming in. Maybe we get the Wolf Dogs. Maybe we get Bron Breakker over on SmackDown trade. AJ Styles said something very interesting tonight, man. Maybe we get AJ over on Raw. Trade AJ for Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker comes over to SmackDown. Teams with Baron Corbin. We get the Wolf Dogs back together. I'm liking that idea. We'll see what happens. But I think Tommaso Ciampa, just have a feeling Tommaso Ciampa is going to end up turning on Johnny Gargano. In fact, I would probably lean towards wanting to see that a little bit more than seeing DIY win the tag team championships. It sounds kind of lame at this point. They've lost every tag team title match they've been in, and now you're going to give them and award them the SmackDown Tag Team Championships? Come on. I'd rather see Psycho Killer. Corey Graves and Wade Barrett did mention the weird QR codes that have been flashing on WWE TV as of late. Graves threw a clip to Monday's QR code, which led to us last night on Twitch, where the Wyatt family, or Uncle Howdy, basically sabotaged WWE's Twitch channel. And we saw this psychiatrist who supposedly went missing, And this lady sat in this office chair, and she was like, oh, I'm so happy to see you and reconnect. And then all of a sudden, she went missing. Don't know when they're coming in. Don't know who's going to be a part of it officially. There are rumors of who's going to be a part of it. But WWE is seemingly near the end of all these QR codes. We're getting a little bit more and more and more of what's actually happening here. And I think the lasting image of the Twitch stream was a very grayed out silhouette of the Uncle Howdy mask, brand new for this new run. Pretty interesting. Byron Saxton interviewed AJ Styles. He says he's been having a tough stretch and asked AJ, what's next? Styles says, you know what? I've been wondering that same thing. Where do I go from here? He said, next week, I'll be meeting with Nick Aldis and we'll find out where I go from here. AJ seemed very unlike himself. Again, I'm making a prediction. I think we get Bron Breakker traded for AJ Styles. AJ goes to Raw, and then we get the Wolf Dogs back together on SmackDown. I love that idea. I loved that idea. Main event. Actually, you know what? Before that, Byron Saxton interviewed Bayley. She's on the show, not in a wrestling capacity, but the women's champion made an appearance tonight. Bayley was asked for her predictions. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven showed up. Piper Niven pretended to be sleeping because Bayley was boring. Piper Niven is usually how I feel when I'm watching Rampage. Chelsea Green said Bayley was the reason Niven lost last week because she sprinkled her bad Bayley juju all over them. Bayley says they can talk in the ring next week. She laughed and walked away. Randy Orton and Carmelo Hayes, King of the Ring, quarterfinal match. If there's one thing I want to ask of WWE, is that the SmackDown main events are given just a little bit more time. This match did not get started until 9:47, around that time, 9:45, 9:46 Eastern Standard Time. And we all know as soon as we get 9:57 on the clocks, SmackDown's off the air here in New York City. This match went 10 minutes. Legitimately 10 minutes. Gonna need you to put a little bit more emphasis on main events. We got Randy Orton getting his ring entrance. Carmelo Hayes gets his ring entrance. The match was really nothing special at all. Nothing special at all. But you know what? Carmelo gets another main event. He's in the main event with Cody Rhodes a couple of weeks ago during the draft. And now he's in the main event with Randy Orton. If you don't think they got plans for Carmelo Hayes, you got another thing coming. Do not overlook that fact. He's been in the main event with Cody Rhodes, the WWE champion, and a 14-time world champion in Randy Orton. They got big plans for Carmelo Hayes. Things started slowly here. Hayes targeted Orton's knee, which is the story of not only this match, but the entire tournament so far, which I will get to in a second. His knee was wrapped, was Randy Orton's knee. Hayes slapped Orton, and that only angered Randy Orton. Orton slowly got up. He approached Hayes, kicking Hayes and throwing Hayes into the ring post repeatedly. Orton hit some European uppercuts, threw Hayes over the top rope. Orton went for his back suplex on the commentary table, which is now a regular thing. Hayes countered it, only to have Orton sweep Hayes' legs out and then hit the back suplex not once, but twice. The table did not break. So the crowd chanted one more time. Orton gets back into the ring. He hears them chanting one more time. He goes back out. He does it again, a third time. And then we go to a commercial break, the final commercial break of the show. We come back from the break. Hayes is working over Orton's knee again inside the ring this time. He's in control. Hayes ran to kick Orton's knee, but Orton moved and came back with a series of Randy Orton clotheslines. Orton set up for the snap power slam, but Hayes grabbed the ropes, and he had that one scouted. Orton clutched at his knee. Orton was successful in his snap power slam moments later. Carmelo Hayes tried for his first 48, which was good enough. He did actually hit it, was good enough for a two count. Hayes then went after Orton's knee again. He went to the top rope. He was going for his finish, nothing but net. Orton moved, landed the draping DDT in very emphatic fashion. Orton teased going for the RKO, but Hayes rolled up Orton for a near fall. He evaded it for now. Hayes went for a springboard cutter, but Orton caught him with an RKO in the spot of the night. They showed multiple replays of this. It was a thing of beauty. Hayes loves his springboard reverse cutter. And Randy Orton just caught him with the RKO. Great move. Great spot. Predictable match. Predictable outcome. Randy Orton wins 1-2-3. At the end of the match, Kathy Kelly tried to interview Orton in the ring. Tama Tonga's music hit. Out comes the Bloodline. Orton didn't really get an interview with Kathy Kelly. He ended up taking the microphone from Kathy Kelly and wondered if the Bloodline was really out there to intimidate him after his match. Orton was fired up, listing off all his credentials, 14-time world champion, and I'm going to add King of the Ring to my credentials. Next week, he's going to introduce his foot to Tama Tonga and stick it up directly up his ass. Orton then shouted, RKO, at Tama Tonga. The most deadliest letters in all of WWE. Next week, coming to you, RKO. And that's the way SmackDown went off the air. Solo Monster on TNT. If you guys watched Tuesday Night Titans episode 48, it's going to be some really great discussion coming to that show that is going to be appointment viewing. Jason made an excellent point. Jason said that everybody should be paying attention to the knee of Randy Orton. And he explained that the knee of Randy Orton was not only a factor in last week's match, it's now been made into a story coming into this match, and it will be a story going into Saudi. Randy Orton is going to defeat Tama Tonga. Randy Orton is going to advance to the finals of the King of the Ring. On the flip side, you look at who Randy Orton will be in the ring against for the King of the Ring final. It will be Gunther. Gunther will be wrestling Jey Uso. There is absolutely no reason to believe that Gunther will lose that match. Gunther, in every case, every aspect is going to advance. Every match that Gunther has had in the King of the Ring so far, he's won with a version of the Boston Crab, whether it's a Boston Crab traditional or a single leg crab. He tapped out Sheamus, leg. Tapped out Kofi, leg. I'm assuming he will do the same thing to Jey, leg. And then he's going to do the same thing to Randy Orton. They have already preconditioned you and preconditioned like an appetizer for Gunther. The reason why Gunther's been winning with submissions when his finish is what? The powerbomb? The stack powerbomb? He's going to win against Randy by tapping Randy Orton out with a single leg crab. And that's going to be the story. That's the story of Gunther using that move in the most effective way. And that's going to be the downfall of all his opponents. He's targeting the knee, the leg. Little things that you pick up. Could see that absolutely being the case. It was a great call out by Solo Monster. The walls of Gunther. Yes. Gunther will be the King of the Ring. It's going to be a little bit more unpredictable for the ladies. I could see Io and Nia. That would be the better match. The best match would be probably Io and Bianca. But I don't think Bianca makes it past Nia. Or I could see Bianca going to the finals thanks to Jade and Jade costing Nia, but I don't think that's the right move. I think Nia winning the Queen of the Ring is the right move. Nia and Io would be the better match. Nia and Lyra, I could see WWE sending Lyra to the final. big baby face comeback, only falling short to the monster Nia Jax. I could see that as well. I'm sticking with my guns. Randy for the men and Nia for the women. I thought tonight's SmackDown was very effective. They did a lot of things right. They made a lot of sense of things. And going into next week, we still have some unpredictable situations, especially on the ladies' side. On the men's, it's a little bit more predictable. But I'm liking what they did tonight for sure. Thank you guys very much for all of your support right here on Off the Scripts. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you guys very much for hanging out with me tonight on this Friday night. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Go check out all the other content, including Monday Night Raw and the post show, Tuesday Night Titans, episode 48, with myself and the Solid Monster, and Wednesday Night Dynamite and the post show with Jesse and I on Wednesday. Also got a little extra thrown in there talking about Ricky Starks and him being booted out of AEW. My thoughts and opinions on that. Go and check all that stuff out. It is on the homepage right now for you guys to indulge in. Tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. All you guys need to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Don't you guys want to be your own king of the ring? Huh? We're not finishing stories here. We already did that. What about becoming king of your very own ring in the bedroom? That's where Blue Chew is going to come and crown you the number one contender. Blue Chew is a unique online service that provides the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but instead in chewable tablets, and it comes at a fraction of the cost. You guys can take them anytime, day or night. Plan ahead, man. LTB, this motherfucker. Plan ahead and be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The process is very simple. You're going to sign up at BlueChew.com. You're going to consult with one of their online medical providers. And once you are approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. No questions asked. No doctor's office visits. No weird conversations. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. It's all done online. Shipped in directly to you and made right here in the USA. Very simple. So if you guys want to benefit from that extra confidence, Blue Chew is where it's at. Sign up. BlueChew.com. Use that code JD at checkout and receive your first month free on me. All you need to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Once again, BlueChew.com, code JD. I want to thank them for sponsoring tonight's SmackDown post show right here on Off the Script. Let's get to these super chats and get the hell out of here. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. Good Friday, JD, OTS family. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Michael. Nate with a 19 months in the venue. Can't believe it's already Friday today. Next week, I'm hoping to start up with a trade school. Wish me well. Should be a 6 to 8 month program, give or take. I love to hear that, brother. Go learn a new craft, a new skill, and apply yourself, man. Love to see it. Good luck. Michelle Moran with the $2 super chat. Did Cody get chumped by Logan Paul? And where is KO? Well, KO was selling the injuries that happened at Backlash. And Cody did not get chumped by Logan Paul. I thought Cody held his own, and I thought he looked fiery than ever tonight. Tony Brown with a $5 super chat. He says, Tiffany looked awesome tonight. Baby girl has really proven to be a great pro wrestler. Tiffany is awesome. Tiffany's great. Christian G with a $10 super chat. Says, SmackDown was pretty good. Had to pour myself some Jack Old Fashioned for tonight's show. Coming up on 10 years subscribed, and it's been one hell of a ride. Keep it up, JD, the true IWC Tribal Chief. Christian, enjoy that Old Fashioned, brother. I recommend Gentleman Jack. It's my favorite Jack. Trey Lindsey with 1 month. 1 month in the VIP lounge. Best in the fucking business, bar none. Coming up on a year in June. I lost my dad. You've kept me going. Thank you, brother. Trey, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. Thoughts and well wishes are with you, man. Stay strong. We got you right here. You need a good escape, man? The OTS venue's got you. Black Wolf Inc. No, there's no Rampage tonight, guys. There's no Rampage tonight. Collision and Rampage, 3-hour block tomorrow. Black Wolf Inc. with 15 months. Nia Jax wins via DQ. Gives me hope that she wins the whole thing. I want her to win because she looks far better. And she cares about her character. I think Nia's going to win it. Jason Barker with a $5 super chat. I don't know why people don't like your analysis. This is what I call Prime JD from NY 206. You love to see it. Fiery JD defeats Calm JD. Thank you, Jason. By the way, I greatly despise when you guys like write to me and call me JD from NY 206. Please don't do that. Just call me JD, please. Unless you're like family or like, you know, a significant other, don't call me JD from NY. The people closest to me call me Jerry. I even hate that. Call me JD. Thank you, Jason. Furious with the 31 months. What's up, JD? Solid SmackDown tonight. Glad to be a member for 30 plus months. Screw the Tiffany Stratton haters. They're just jealous and should go touch grass. Furious, I don't even think they know what grass feels like. The Joker's voice with a $5 super chat. Hail JD and the OTS venue, ladies. Matches were great. Agree. Book Tiffany for Money in the Bank. Covering a bar shift tonight. Jameson and OTS to start my night proper. I love a Jameson old fashioned. Love it. Joker's voice. Have a good night at work, brother. Rich Mulatto with a $1.99. JD, you're so pretty. Am I? Thank you, Rich. Furious Nation with a $9.99. In your opinion, thoughts on Bryan Danielson versus Satnam Singh this Wednesday on Dynamite? Also, hopefully Ricky Starks is WWE bound. Do you see him on NXT first or straight to... First of all, hold on. Did Tony Khan really book Bryan Danielson versus Satnam Singh on Wednesday's Dynamite? Please, please don't tell me this is... Tell me you guys are trolling. Please tell me you guys are trolling. You guys are not trolling. This is legit. I honestly think Tony Khan has given up. Tony Khan has given up. There's no fucking way how that match leads to anything that he's doing at Double or Nothing. Tony Khan has given up everything, man. He is done for. Furious, thank you for the $10. DJ Izzy Rose with a $1.99. It was Courtney Brown in the 2000 NFL Draft. Thank you for the trivia there, DJ. Demeter Bullion, CM Funky, Punky, Hunky, Junky, Dunky with a 503 super chat. Shayna Blazer stole RVD's joint last night and my one. So she went to the priest, Damien, to have her... to have her sins forgiven. But Punky Funky does not forgive. Man, oh man, Demeter, I'm sorry about that, man, that she stole your joint. Brendan Watson with a 499. The number one draft pick in the 2000 NFL draft was Courtney Brown from Penn State. That was the year that Tom Brady was drafted. Thank you, Brendan. Mr. Team Bring It with a 499. Can Ryback save AEW? I would probably bet that Ryback has more of a creative brain than most of the team in AEW right now. Ali with a 499. JD, do you like that one rock band called Stratovarius? They are Finnish metal. If you look them up, listen to one of their songs called Phoenix. Ali, no. Not my type of power metal, bro. Lewis with a 499. JD, I truly enjoy your show. I love how you keep it real. OTS for life. Lewis, thank you, buddy. Demeter Bullying, CM Funky, Punky, Hunky, Junky, Dunky with a $5 super chat. Hi, JD. How do you go about preparing your voice before you do these long shows? I can assume it can be a very demanding task on your voice. Regards, D. Wow. The guy actually spoke English words and completed a full sentence. Demeter, I don't do any conditioning on my voice. Caffeine, and I don't really do anything all day. I don't talk to nobody. I don't interact with nobody. Caffeine, and I'm fucking great at what I do. Yuri Lover with a $5 super chat. What's up, JD? Going through an illness, but I enjoy the show tonight. Also, what's the most disturbing horror movie you watched? The first ever Paranormal Activity. I couldn't sleep for four nights after I watched it. And Phil with a 999. Let's face it, both Ilya and Gunther, Bianca and Jade deserve to be on a bigger stage than a random Raw and SmackDown. Solid SmackDown tonight, and I'm excited to see the PLE next weekend. I agree, Phil. Anybody understood? Patience. It's going to happen. You'll get both of those matches when we are ready. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for all your support. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Jesse, don't you have a stream to do, bro? Fuck out of the venue, man. Follow me on social media, JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Go check out all the other content on the channel. Plenty of it. Joey, thank you for the 29 months, brother. And Rich with a 199. Kenny Chesney will be in Atlanta tomorrow. Who gives a fuck?